Welcome once again to our series on Keep Holy the Lord's Day, so the Lord's Day can keep us holy, whole, and wholesome. The third commandment of Moses, the first part, keep holy the Lord's Day, keep holy the Sabbath day, or what the church since apostolic times has called Sunday, the first day of the week, changing the Old Testament Sabbath, Saturday, to Sunday because of the resurrection of Jesus on Easter Sunday and the coming of the Holy Spirit in fire and wind on Pentecost Sunday upon the apostles, the birthday of the church. My guest, as usual, is Ron Eldred, who is our professor of religion at John Paul II Catholic High and of world history. I'm Monsignor Larry Moran, Pastor Emeritus of St. Patrick's here at 19th and Poplar, where our 91.9 station, FM, is situated. We've been talking for 15 series, Ron, on the whole history of the Mass, the history of keeping holy the Lord's Day. We've included a part-time discussion on Dies Domini, Holy Father's encyclical in 1990, Apostolic Letter in 1998, on the Day of the Lord, and taking many of his wonderful insights and discussing them. So we're all the way down. We talked about the covenant in the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Passover meal, and the Last Supper, which is now the Mass reenacted through space and time. So we're talking about how better can we participate in the Mass by preparing for Mass. And I believe you were saying that Guardini, Romano Guardini, one of the great theologians in the early part of the century, well, last century, was the one from whom suggested some of these three topics about recollection and silence and how to a stillness that would help us participate in the Mass best of all. So why don't we just kind of begin again about preparation for Mass, as some of the great theologians and saints have encouraged us to do.
Well, as you just said, Romano Guardini, one of the great theologians, is, as you said, also of the 20s, 30s, through that period. He was an Italian, but if I recall right, he was actually raised in Germany and did a lot of his work in Germany as a great theologian.
Wrote a wonderful book, The Lord, many other wonderful books.
Yeah, sort of a kind of a biography, I guess, of Jesus' life, The Lord. Yes, he wrote many, many books, and the book we're referring to is the one he wrote on specifically on the Mass. And he divides the book into these three parts, where he's explaining the ingredients that are absolutely necessary to fully participate in Mass. And of course, the more we participate, the more we're going to get out of it. You don't get any more out of anything except what you put into it. And so he's trying to teach us how to participate better so that we can get more grace, God's grace, out of Mass. And the three things he talks about, of course, is recollection. Most people have heard of that. Sometimes they use the word composure. Basically, it's focusing. It's learning to focus. Is what it is. The other thing, of course, is silence, learning to be silent, and what is meant by that. And the third thing, of course, is stillness. So we're going to take each of these things in turn and discuss them.
So, in a sense, they're kind of cousins.
Yes, they're all
related to each other, but they are distinct. So let's talk about recollection.
Well, we'll look at those three separate, and then we'll kind of tie them together.
All right.
And so we'll look at recollection first. Before we can fully participate in Mass, we must learn to free ourselves from attractions or distractions from without and the turmoil that's inside of ourselves. In the parlance or the language of a generation ago, one must become calm and cool and collected. You see the word collected is in there, of course.
Sure.
This calming of the self is called composure or recollection. And recollection means collecting the scattered self and returning to the center of one's being. That's a little philosophical, but I think most people would have some kind of an idea what that means. You know, at any given time, everything's kind of a buzz. We're not focused on anything. There are things that's taking place outside of us that are attracting us or distracting us, and there's a certain amount of turmoil that's inside of ourselves. Sometimes it's worrying about problems. Sometimes it's thinking about what you're going to do the next day, something that happened in the past. There's all kinds of things, and we're just constantly bombarded with these things. People have a hard time focusing. In other words, as we said here, kind of collecting oneself, the scattered self, and returning to the center of one's being, which means, of course, focusing. The person is also who is distracted of what is going on around him or herself is either daydreaming or is not aware of what's happening before and during Mass. And she or he is simply not present. They may be physically there, but they're not mentally there or emotionally there. They're basically just a spectator under such circumstances. They're not a participant.
Because that can happen to us anytime. We may be listening to somebody at home and not listening. We have the radio on or the television. We're really not present there. So focusing is a hard thing.
It's very hard.
Particularly if it's about spiritual matters.
And distracted persons are just simply not themselves totally. Only composed persons can be fully aware of what is going on around them. Only they are wide awake, you might say. Only they are really present, so to speak. You've heard people say when they see somebody daydreaming, well, where are you at? You know, something like that, as if though they're not there, they're somewhere else. And in a sense, they are.
Happens to us all.
Yes. And so only then are we wide awake, are we present, and are we ready to hear the Word of God and participate in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. In other words, we have to be present to respond to God's outpouring of grace with adoration and love, and we cannot participate if we're not there in mind and heart and spirit with attention and devotion and love.
Now, Gordini is certainly giving us the ideal. Isn't it pretty difficult to achieve and to keep recollected in our rush around and whirlpool world?
Well, yes. Our full participation in the Mass is possible only with composure. And this is a condition, as you just said, that's not easy to achieve and to maintain. And again, it's because of the attractions in our society and the inner turmoil that modern life or modern living causes us. And so one must have to diligently practice. One must diligently practice achieving this, the state of mind and body and spirit. And I think we should begin to prepare ourselves for Mass even before we leave home. And we should start to compose ourselves when we examine our consciences and consider the sacrifices we intend to make at Mass, as we discussed, or will discuss a little bit later on when we get into the actual Mass itself and talk about the penitential rite and the offertory sections. But nonetheless, composure or recollection is the only way that we can escape time and approach eternity, which is the Mass, heaven brought to earth.
And of course, perhaps the only time, one of the few times, I guess I should say, that many of us have a time to be recollected is when we go to Mass. Everything else is moving so quick in the fast lane, pedal to the metal, running behind, and that it does give us an opportunity to, as the Quakers say, center down and try in some way to recollect ourselves. Okay, the next point that Guardini mentioned was that we need stillness. Now, stillness is a cousin, certainly, recollection, but it's a little different.
Yeah, by stillness, we mean not to be moving around during the celebration more than it's absolutely necessary. We use the word congregation, and a congregation is a gathering of people united by faith and the love of God. And only to the extent that those at the celebration of the Mass are composed, which we've already talked about, and fully aware of what is happening? Are they a congregation? Otherwise, they're only an audience or a group of spectators. In order to be a congregation, the people must be not only physically present, but they must be composed and still. They have to be still in order to achieve this. And one of the best ways, I think, to achieve this is to go to Mass, to church a little early, not come in the last minute or certainly late. Try to get there a little early, 10, 15 minutes. You used to see a lot of people in the olden days coming in, 15 minutes till, or even a half hour. At St. Joe's, on a Sunday or a Saturday evening, I go to St. Joe's. Not often, but maybe four or five times a year. I notice there are certain people, usually older people, almost every Saturday evening, they come in about an hour or a half hour earlier and sit there, and they'll either say the rosary or they'll pray. And what they're really doing is becoming composed and becoming still.
Beautiful.
But I would say at least 10 or 15 minutes before the Mass actually begins to better achieve composure and then stillness, so there's, not be moving around all over the place.
Stillness, how can we achieve that just in ordinary times? I suppose one way is to turn off our cell phone.
Yeah, well, again, this is just like composure. It's easier said than done. People come in late and they leave early. I mean, here you are sitting here trying to be composed and trying to be still, and you see people who aren't composed and people who aren't being still. In fact, the third one we haven't gotten into, aren't being silent. We'll get to that one later. People coming in late, leaving early, talking, visiting, making noise, looking around, squirming, shuffling about, coughing, moving around, and the like. This can be very distracting.
So we're trying to be conscious of, by our comportment and our stillness and our prayerfulness, not to make it possible for others also who are trying to pray.
At times it almost seems as though people don't even know why they're there, because they're doing all these things. Now, I'm not trying to impute motives to him or anything like that. I don't know what's in their mind, what they're thinking, and this, that, and the other, but it sometimes at least appears that way, and it certainly makes it hard for you or for me or anybody else, to concentrate, to be focused, and to be still and what have you. But, in the past, non-Catholics were always extremely impressed, even awestruck at times, with the stillness and the silence in a Catholic church and the feeling of the sacred that was produced by it. And tragically, I think, just as they have lost a sense of sin, many of today's Catholics have lost a sense of the sacred and are no longer silent and still when they go to church. No longer reverent in church, I guess that's another way of putting it. And of course, we there who are trying to participate, it makes our task that much more difficult, because we'll just have to work that much harder to compose ourselves and to be still, and so we can get more out of the Mass ourselves.
I think it was that famous Persian poet, Kahil Gibran. Is that his name? Kahil Gibran, yes. He wrote some beautiful things, but he, I think he was Lebanese, but he has a line somewhere that our modern world has murdered silence, that it's almost become a commodity that is so rare, it's as precious as diamonds and jewels. And I suppose many of us have experienced that wherever we go, it's really, I remember going out to state forests and state parks and up in the hill country, and suddenly I hear somebody with a boombox. I was going up for silence and somebody was walking along the trails with a big boombox with modern music. I thought, oh my gosh, even in the state forest, it's hard to find a quiet place. So hopefully in church, we can help each other with that kind of participation by keeping this reverent silence ourselves. So say another word or so about silence.
Well, we distinguish, Guardini distinguishes between silence and stillness. Sometimes people equate the two, but they're really different. By silence, we mean not talking except when either singing or making responses to the liturgy. And people in our modern world simply can't stand silence, it seems like. They constantly need something to stimulate and bombard their senses. Whether it be the racket of modern music, the sound of the television or the radio, the noise of motor vehicles, or the constant chatter of idle and superficial conversation. They just simply have a hard... Well, I don't know. Is it because we're empty and require constant filling with the sounds of various sorts? I've heard, you know, certain psychologists and philosophers make comments like that, but... No wonder we never hear God if there's just nothing but constant noise, constant racket all the time.
I think Cardinal Newman has a beautiful statement, never less alone than when I'm alone. And he's talking about sensing the presence of God in being alone and in silence and stillness and in prayer. But I thought it was kind of a classic. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not aware or seeking God, then I don't want to be alone. I think that was your reference to modern psychology, that sometimes I don't want to be with myself because I don't want to see myself. I don't want to look at myself. I don't want to listen to God talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we've looked at those three components, Ron. How are they related? How are they woven together? How are they first cousins?
Well, to remind our audience what we've been talking about, we're talking about composure or recollection, stillness, and then silence. These are the three components that you just made reference to. And all three of these components are required to fully participate in Mass. They are needed to focus our attention on what is happening. And one can hear what is being said in the liturgy only to the extent that he or she is composed and still and silent. And I think this is especially true of the reading of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. For one must be present and aware to hear the Word of God. The Scriptures are meant to be listened to. And for God is speaking to us, and we can listen only to the extent that that we're silent and that we are focused on what's being read. The Adoration Chapel we have here at St. Patrick's has a sign that contains this famous Psalm 46, 10th verse, which goes, quote, "Be still and know that I am God," end quote. So we are ready to participate in the celebration of the Mass only when we're composed and still and silent. And only then can we say, as did the Lord's faithful servant Ananias, "Here I am, Lord." And we find this in Acts 9, 10th verse.
You might remind us who Ananias was. The one who was picked to talk to Paul.
Yes, this was after Paul's conversion, I believe, if I recall right. And Paul had been struck down, you know, on his way to Damascus to imprison and bring back to Jerusalem, because he was a Pharisee, of course, a leading Pharisee. About just a few months before that, he had held the coats of those who stoned Stephen to death, of course. But yes, and... when Paul was struck, Jesus appeared to him in a brilliant light. And Paul, if I recall right, was blinded, and he had scales on his eyes so he couldn't see. And Jesus told him, you know, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And by me, of course, he was talking about his church, his mystical body. And
his people in Damascus.
Yes. And he told him to... I guess, if I recall right, he told him to see this man, Ananias, who was probably the bishop there, or at least he was the, he wouldn't have been the bishop.
Leader of a community.
He'd been a leader of a community there. And so when he went in, Ananias healed him, and the scales dropped from his eyes, and then Ananias gave him his early training in that.
And Ananias, at first, was somewhat hesitant.
Yes.
But he ends up saying, "Here I am, Lord, and I want to do your will."
Yeah, after all, this is a man who was the leading persecutor of the Christians up to that time.
Okay, it was interesting. I've heard several people say, some older people, even some younger people, parents now say, I always tell my kids that I'm going to ask you what the gospel was about after when we get out of church. So pay attention, because it's certainly hard for kids to pay attention as well as it's hard for adults to pay attention. I think sometimes any of us can walk out of church and say, what were the readings about today? You know, I was just not there at all. And it's a good question to ask one's husband or wife just to see how much we take the trouble to focus. And if we're responsible to somebody, that's a good way to help us get more out of the readings. Okay, I suppose we've all heard some people say, well, Mass is boring, and I really don't get anything out of it. You ever hear that statement? And what are some ways that we can help ourselves overcome this boredom that people are talking about? Maybe sometimes we even experience ourselves.
Well, I've heard this from young people especially, but I've heard it from older people too. All too often, you know, that the Mass is boring and I don't get anything out of it and what have you. And I think that what they're really saying is that they really don't know what the Mass is. Or if they do know what it is, they're not participating and aware of what is going on. They're simply not, they're just simply sitting in the pews as spectators rather than being participants. And many aren't putting anything into it. And if one doesn't put anything into something, then of course, we're not going to get something out of it. We're not going to get anything out of it. And more often than not, I think that we are looking for entertainment, and such as found in a concert or a ball game or a movie rather than the worship of God, where we actually have to participate.
Okay, I think that's a good insight, that we really have to put something into Mass, ourselves and our offerings and our prayers and our concentration, if we're going to get something out of it. But that's true of most things, isn't it?
Yes.
That can be said of school.
Well, I think it's true that human beings become easily tired of events that occur over and over again, day after day, and in the case of the Mass, Sunday after Sunday. Routine and familiarity, I think they often lead to monotony and boredom. Even to becoming bored at the most sublime event of all time, you know, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I think beautiful church architecture and religious art and inspiring music once, and maybe still in some instances even yet today, helped raise, you know, our hearts and minds to God you know, to be better participants at the holy sacrifice of the Mass.
And again, you know, our theme has been keep holy the Lord's Day so the Lord's Day can keep us holy, whole, and wholesome. It's just a reminder that what an opportunity. I know many mothers who would be thrilled if they could go to Mass on Sunday without the three or four kids distracting them all during Mass. And of course, that is one of the reasons that most churches, most of Catholic churches, have places for children to be cared for, child care and little education in another place, so the parents can have that healing opportunity just to be able to pray sometime. So,
well, those are some of the distractions that we made reference to a little bit earlier. Things that attract you, things that detract or distract, distractions. And obviously, we just have to work real hard at it. Now, soon, and I think we're going to deal with that matter just a little bit, some of the things we can do to better participate in Mass.
I think the congregation can help the priest a lot by participating actively, singing enthusiastically, responding wholeheartedly, like I'm really putting myself into this, Father, and so I want to support you in putting yourself into it. And when we get down to that part of the homily at Mass, I want to say a few things from a priest's view about that.
Well, priests vary a lot, you know. Some priests are very inspiring.
Well, what can we do then to help being less bored and more inspired at Holy Mass?
Well, I think the first thing is to know what the Mass is to study it and to know what it really is, that it actually makes, that it's the Lord's Supper, that it actually represents the Lord's Supper, it makes Calvary present, the resurrection, you know, is celebrated at the Mass. All these things happen, and if a person really truly knew these kind of things, I don't see how they could be bored. And then, of course, you're going to have, you know, the things that distract you. You're going to have the children you were talking about playing and eating their Cheerios and all the kind of things that they do, and riding their little cars up and down the seats and all that kind of thing. And the mother's got to constantly be, you know, after them. And God will bless her for that. She just simply has to work harder at herself at being composed and still. And
I do want to emphasize there, St. Patrick's has made a real effort to be helpful to parents. They even have a pager you can put in your pocket, and if the children are in the emergency or anything, they'll just buzz the parent, the parent can come down and feel at ease that they're right in contact with their children. So Sue Graham made a wonderful effort to build the St. Patrick's child care.
Well, I think the main thing is just to know what the Mass is.
Okay.
And then that's the intellect part, and use your will, you know, to make the decision whenever you can possibly do so in Mass to be focused, that is, you know, to be composed, not to let things attract and distract, not to to daydream, not to to constantly let the worries distract you and what have you, to bring yourself constantly back to what's happening. And your mind's going to drift many times during the Mass. Even when you start saying the Lord's Prayer, you get halfway through and you think, gosh, I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying. So you have to constantly be bringing yourself back and bringing yourself back. And that takes an act of the will. When we do, you know, when we do know what's going on, and we can participate in what we're doing, we'll know we're participating in the most important event that ever occurred in the whole history of the world, of course, and that's the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass.
And that's what we're concluding on. May God bless you always and in all ways. Amen.